So it's a continuation from last week's gospel passage. And if we recall that passage, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he asked them directly, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And it was Peter, who was inspired by God the Father, who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you are Peter. On this rock I build my church. The gates of hell will never prevail." What an exalted and high moment in the life of Simon, who became Peter, to receive these accolades from Jesus. But to be thrown down so quickly, immediately following. I mean, we've had a week between the two passages, but this was one continuous conversation. "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me." That word obstacle is, "You are a scandal to me." And the word in the original language would have been more like a little rock, a little pebble in my path, something that caused me to trip as though I'm walking by. So we go from being the rock, the foundation on which the entire church would be built, and now you're being called a little stone, a little pebble, an obstacle to Jesus. And what instigated this? It's Peter's denial of the cross, his refusal to accept God's will, which necessarily included the cross. "God forbid," he said, "this will never happen to you." "You're thinking like man thinks," Jesus said today. Last week, he said, "You did not come to this through human reasoning, but through the Father in heaven has inspired this." So last week, he's given the promise to Peter and then to us, the church, that promise of papal infallibility, the confident assurance that we all have as members of the church that the Pope and the bishops can teach without error, without fault. And here is that same man being an obstacle to Jesus. And the difference is, where is the inspiration for his words coming? A mere human calculus for what makes sense, or to receive the inspiration from the Father? And this is the battle that we all face. It's a struggle for each one of us to stand firmly on the rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ and his gospel, the sure and certain and only path of salvation. Or do we fall off when it gets more complicated, more cumbersome, more inconvenient than we had hoped? When God's plan and my plan don't correspond perfectly, more likely than not, we throw away God's plan. Or more oftentimes than that, we create our own plan, and then we bring it to God, asking him to sanctify our plan, put his stamp of approval on it. This has always been the struggle for the disciples. And that's where Jesus goes on to say, for anyone who wants to be my disciple, not just you apostles, the first bishops of the church, not those who really want to become saints with a prayer card and a feast day on the calendar. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must willingly embrace the cross, to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to follow me. To lose your life for my sake. So often in the Gospels we have that little phrase, "for my sake." The reason why we do things. I mean, there are foolish people all around who are losing their lives for all kind of crazy reasons. I mean, many of us, I'm sure today, spent a few hours in front of the television who watch young men and not so young men who've lost their lives for an endeavor that, while it may be temporarily good, it has no rendering on our eternal salvation. But we applaud those sacrifices. We applaud those denying of selves and taking up their sufferings and crosses. But when the Lord asks us, when the church asks us, are we as willing to celebrate those achievements as we are for those young men on the television? St. Paul has some very encouraging words for us, words that can be life-changing, should be life-changing. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. But in our translation or in our rendition, there's a word that's missing. If you go to your Bible and you read Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1, you'll read it says, I urge you therefore, brothers and sisters. So any of us who remember our grammar lessons, or if you're a teacher, that what does that word therefore mean? Because of what I just said, therefore then this must happen. Therefore, this is true because of what just happened. And what just happened? What did St. Paul just tell us? This is what we had last week. Oh, the depths and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How inscrutable his judgments, how unsearchable his ways. Who has known the mind of God? Who has been his counselor? He's in being like almost swept up into this ecstatic experience of the awesomeness of God. So therefore, brothers and sisters, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed by the transformation of your mind. Because God is so powerful, so awesome, so much more than we could ever imagine, allow that reality to change your life. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be like Peter and put a logical calculus on the best way to achieve our means. Don't weigh the cost. Allow the reality of what new life in Christ means to change everything, to transform your mind. How many of us are conformed to this world when it comes to the things, the passing times of our lives? How many of us allow the world to influence our opinion about all these issues? We're about to get into the crazy political system season. Do we think like a Catholic, or do we think like our favorite news program? Who are we allowing to control our mind? Have we learned how to think, not what to think, although sometimes that's necessary? But more importantly, have we learned how to think as a Catholic? Do we know what Mother Church teaches? Do we know why Mother Church teaches what she teaches? Can we think with Mother Church? Have we allowed ourselves to be transformed by the renewal of our mind? The renewal of our mind, that's the very same word that Jesus said at the beginning of Mark's gospel when he said, repent and believe in the gospel. The word repentance, the metanoia, to change your mind. It's the same exhortation that St. Paul is giving us this afternoon. So when we hear this call to carry our cross, do we receive it with joy, or do we recoil with trepidation? When we attempt to live out the life of radical discipleship, just simply in our homes, by being nice to the people we live with, by being charitable to each other, by not gossiping about our neighbors, by being honest in our daily doings, being industrious and diligent in our work, just the simple things that a Christian should be doing. Are we influenced by the gospel, or have we been conformed to this world of one-upmanship, of a utilitarian view of the world and of individuals? And when it gets hard, do we kind of fudge a little bit and go around and say, well, we don't even want to be too radical. I don't want to be too rigid about the things. We'll just be halfway there. Jeremiah in the first reading was facing that same situation. Called as a young man to be a prophet. So some will say he was 16, 17, 18. So maybe some of our young people here, like, he's living your life. Called to be the voice piece of God. To tell the people, you're going the wrong way. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to die. You're going to go into slavery. You're going to lose your kingdom. God's not happy with the choices that you're making. You need to change your life. How many of us have the courage to say that to our spouses or to our children or to our neighbors? You're going the wrong way. Jeremiah was trying to do this and he kept getting beat down by his neighbors and by his friends and by his family. Just before this, they put him in the blockade outside. They didn't want to, they were trying to shut him up because they liked their comfortable, sinful life. They didn't like to be challenged. You know, so maybe today we would write letters to get our priest removed, or we would do other things because we don't like the truth being preached to us, or we would complain and we would gossip. It's the same thing Jeremiah faced. And that's why he said today, Lord, you duped me. You deceived me. You lied to me. But I let myself be duped and deceived. I bought this program that you're selling, God, and I don't like it. So you know what, God? I'm never going to speak your name again. That's what Jeremiah said. Forget this. It's not worth it. I'd rather have my friends and my good reputation rather than stand on the truth. I'd rather be an obstacle to your path, Jesus, what Peter said, than to face the consequence of standing up for the truth. He was seeking to avoid the cross. But then what happened to him? What do we hear? It became like a fire in his belly. He could not speak the truth. And that should be the case for each one of us. Each one of us who've been baptized. And when we're baptized, we become prophets. We're given the same charge to speak the truth to the world about the reality of sin and the promise of heaven and the radical transformation in our lives that's required for us to get there. And it should be a fire burning in our belly whenever we recoil in fear and trepidation or frustration. We should not be able to sleep at night. We should never be able to sit still because this fire in our belly is raging. St. Paul is urging the church, the early church in Rome, to allow the saving message of Jesus Christ to change their life. And it's the same call, the same cry the church has been giving ever since that day. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you can discern what is God's will, what is good, and what is pleasing. To allow God's word to form our lives. To allow God's will to direct our lives. This is what Jesus said, if anybody wants to be my disciple, they must follow me. And that's what he told Peter. Get behind me, Satan. Follow me. Stop thinking like men think. And follow me. Do what I do. Say what I say. And then you'll start to think like I think. And this is the call for each one of us. To radically follow Jesus. Sometimes when it doesn't make sense. Because we trust the one who's leading us. This is what it means to have a radically transformed mind. I urge you, brothers and sisters, do not be conformed to this age, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, be renewed by the transformation of your mind.